to Encounter Life Church. Welcome for those of you all who are joining us online. I am excited to be here. I'm actually excited for the rain, strangely enough. And I almost hate the rain, but we need it. So I'm really excited that you all are here this morning, excited for today's message that we are going to get. I want to share just really briefly a quick testimony with you all about my current job. It has been amazing, and it's funny, the song He's Able made me think about it, how God transitioned me from where I was to where I am now. And I had a conversation with Pastor Dwayne. We're getting ready to hear our message from him in a second. And we were talking about how God like set things up from way, way back in the day. I'm not going to get into that right now because this is not my message. That's Pastor Dwayne is going to bring us the word for today. But I will tell you something, that if you are waiting on God to do something, be patient and wait. And when things seem like they're not where you want them to be presently, just wait. He's working. When I get a chance later on, I will share with you all a story where God literally orchestrated something, I believe, almost 30 years ago. It's crazy. Anyway, welcome. For you all who are there again, especially for those of you all who are online, please make sure that you connect with us. You can do that by going to the website, encounterchurch.net/next, and fill out that connection card. Let us know that you're here in the house. Again, thank you all of you all who are joining us now at this point, who are on campus with us. And now we will have Pastor Dwayne come and share today's message with us. Please give him an amen as he comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Al. Praise the Lord. Can we give God a hand praise this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. And guess what? If you're in your house, you're still in the house of the Lord. Amen. For those of you who are at home, all of it, the earth is the Lord's. Amen. And all of us who dwell in it belong to Him. And we praise God for you just being here with us at Encounter Life. How many are glad that He's a promise-keeping God? I want to thank our praise team for just reminding us that we serve a God who is a promise keeper, that He keeps His promises. Amen? And I love it. I love that song. Like what she said, she reminded us. Sometimes we sing a song a lot, and we just forget about the word. The words, you know, we just kind of become, we're from rote memory sometimes. He's able to do what He said He would do. And you know what? That will encourage you if you know what He said He'll do. See, it doesn't mean as much unless you know what He said He'll do. I dare you to try. Go find out what He said He will do. He's going to come. He's going to fulfill. He said every promise to you. That ought to make you shout. Because when you know what He promised you, He said He promised never to leave you or forsake you. He promised that He'll work all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He promised to strengthen you, to provide for you, to protect you. Nobody shouted yet, but you should have because you've seen it. He's going to come. He said, listen, don't give up on God because He won't give up on you. That goes with what Brother Al said. Can I tie them together? He said, wait on Him. Sometimes you're tempted to give up on Him because He hasn't come through yet. He said, don't give up on God because He won't give up on you. That's one of His promises. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So though it may tarry, just wait. He's going to do it. Somebody say He's going to do it. Somebody say He's going to do it. Might not happen today, but He's going to do it. What He's promised in your life, He's going to do it. Anybody glad about that today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm full this morning. I thank God to be in the land of the living this morning. Amen. We just shared the testimony with some people this morning. We got in an accident last night, got hit by a drunk driver. I'm glad I'm here today. Somebody say, won't he do it? And it just showed you, listen, we were sitting at a light. You don't even have to be doing anything. We're just sitting at a light. And the back of our car got boom. Three-car accident. Drunk driver hit the car behind me. The car behind me hit me. And my son just hollered because he's in the very back seat. I just thank God this morning. I thank God I was driving a van and not driving the other car. I thought about taking the smaller car yet last night. I said, all of our stuff is all in a smaller car. Let's just put the three kids in the back seat, take the smaller car. But we took the van. Thank God that we took the van. That there was a buffer between the children and the accident. God is able to do what he said he would do. How many know he's keeping you when you don't even recognize it? Somebody ought to shout about that today. When you don't even recognize it. We're sitting at a light right around the corner from home. Do you know your next breath is not promised to you? Hallelujah. If you're here today, you ought to shout. You ought to be thankful because he's kept you and surrounded you and he's keeping you alive. He's able to do what he said he would do. Hallelujah. If he's promised you something, though it may tarry, it might wait a little while. He's working in the waiting. He's working in the waiting. Aren't you glad about that today? Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome, awesome God. Aren't you glad about that today? Once again, just welcome for those of you who are guests here, guests at home. We're glad to have you here in the house this morning as we go into the Word of God. Are you all ready to hear the Word of God this morning? We talked about this morning. I talked about how he's keeping us alive. He's protecting your very life. And today, because he's such so good to us, we ought to be willing to go all in for him. We ought to be willing to go all in for him. Last week, we started this series called All In, Loving God with Our Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. And last week, we talked about what it means to love God with all of your heart. We said your heart is that central part, the thing that all of your emotions and your desires and your affections. The word heart has come from the word, in that scripture comes the word cardia, like we get the word cardiology. And it's the thing that makes you tick. The thing that makes you tick. Aren't you glad about that? Listen, that he said, we want you to love him with all of your heart. And we challenge you to go in and find out what really makes you tick. Did anybody go and do some self-assessment this week? Anybody? I asked Lord God, show me what makes me tick. Because sometimes the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes I don't even know what makes my own self tick. And God challenged us last week to look. If you want to love God with all your heart, number one, you got to search your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and Lord God, and reveal to me my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in your everlasting way. And so we ask God, we have to ask God to search our heart. And then after you ask him to search your heart, then to show you what's in there, now he's saying, I want you to surrender your heart. Give it all to me. Give your heart to me. Give me all of your affections. I want to be the center of it all. Surrender your heart to me. That requires some sacrifice. And then you got to ask God to shield your heart. You got to constantly ask, protect what is in that heart. Amen? Once you surrender your heart, it doesn't stop right there. You got to daily shield your heart. Because there's always going to be something that's going to pull your affections away from God. Amen. And we looked about it. We talked about my example that I'll use again as we go today is these two lovely dogs that I have in my house. Chloe and Tyson. I wish I had a picture. Next time I'm going to show you a picture of Chloe and Tyson. Chloe and Tyson, it's like Lady and the Tramp. I got one big 70-pound dog and a small Yorkie. And the Yorkie is the boss of the house. The Yorkie's the boss. I mean, she runs the big dog. But the thing about her, both of them, they just sit up under me. And wherever I move, they move. When I move, they move. And I said, look, God, if we could be up under you just like that, to have that level of devotion, to know that, Lord, you are the one who provides me with my food. You are the one who provides me with all of my sustenance and everything I need. So when you move, I'm right up under you. That's the level of devotion when we say we're all in. Are we going to be all in for God? And it starts with loving God with all of our heart, the central part of us. And today we're going to look at loving God with all of our soul. All of our soul. Can you pray with me as we go? We get ready to go. To Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. If you've got your device, you can go on your device. If you don't have your device,
It'll be up on the screen. We're going to look at Mark chapter 12 and see what it means to love God with all of our soul. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Today we love because you first love us. Lord, challenge us. Lord, help us to do some self-assessment and really understand and really see where we are and to be genuine. Lord, search our hearts. And help us to love you, Lord, as we see where our affections sometimes may be off. Lord, help us to align them and remind ourselves of all that you've done for us and to love you with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength today. Our prayer today is that when we leave here that we're not the same. We thank you. Now use me as your vessel. Allow me to speak your words and not my words. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and through 31 is our main text. Mark 12, 29 through 31. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all of your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Last week we said that all of our heart, we talked about that being the center of us, all where all of our desires lie. And today we're looking at what does it mean to love God with all of your soul? All of your soul. You know, have y'all ever heard somebody say, "Man, this job just sucks the soul right out of me"? Anybody ever said that about your job? It just sucks the soul right out. When you say that, when somebody says that, they're usually saying it sucks the what out of me? Life. Sucks the life. It just drains the very life out of me. The word that is used for soul here in the Greek language in this text is the word psyche. It's the word psyche. And what it refers to is the different aspects of the immaterial nature, of our immaterial nature, the word psyche. And so the Greeks believed that outside of our physical being, there was an immaterial part of us that was outside of your physical body. That's the word that is used there. But if you want to get the actual context of what Jesus is talking about here, you got to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Because all that Jesus is doing, he is quoting the Old Testament. He's going and quoting what's called the Shema. And I said last week, the Shema is something that a good Jew will quote twice a day. It is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind." And so that he was quoting that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the language there was Hebrew, and the word that was used in the Hebrew is different than psyche. It's the word nefesh. And that word actually describes the whole human as a living and physical organism. And what Jesus is saying here is, you shall love the God with all of your heart, soul. He's saying, when you heard that song, "My soul loves Jesus," he said, my whole being, my whole life, not just my heart, the word right there is my whole being, the whole human organism, everything that is in me love God. Love God with everything that is in you. The word soul represents the whole human organism. When you look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. For whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul?" The word soul and the word life there are the same words in the Hebrew. In the original language, the word soul and life are the same thing. And you go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, I believe, Genesis chapter 3 or Genesis chapter 2, what he says, "And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. Your very life comes from the breath of God. Your very life comes from the breath of God. And what it means to love God with all of my soul means, God, I love you with my whole life. I love you not with just my affections, but Lord, my it's beyond my affections, everything that is within me. Let all, what is Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, oh my, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Everything that is within me, that's your soul. And so what the man was asking Jesus, he came to Jesus here in Mark chapter 12 and said, Jesus, what is the greatest thing that I can do? There's a whole lot of commandments. There's a whole lot of stuff to do. But what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love God with all your heart, the center of you, all your soul, your whole being. Because when you love somebody with your whole being, it'll affect everything else you do. That's why he said this is the greatest commandment, because if you love God with your soul, you ain't going to cheat on him. When you love God with your soul, Pastor Mac always says, love, that's what's in the best interest of the object of the love. And when you love somebody, you don't have to worry about thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? Because my soul loves Jesus. And I love you with my soul. My whole being. And so today I said, Lord, let us you get an example of scripture, what it looks like to love God with our soul. And I thought, I said, if we could go in your Bible in the same book. I mean, if we go down then to the book of Luke. If you go to book of Luke and you go to Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 48. It gives an example of what it looks like to love God with your soul, with your whole being. There's a woman here in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, but we're going to stop at verse 48, who showed us what it looks like. And we're going to give four points, four things, when you love God with your soul, what that means, what that looks like, and what God is calling us to do. If you could, we'll just read, we're going to make our way through this passage in Luke 7. This woman was an immoral woman. It says, one of the Pharisees, his name was Simon, asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt beside him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, Jesus must not know who's touching him. If he were a real prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. He's God. He knows what you're thinking. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to another, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he had canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the common courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who's forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Today, let's look at, loving God with your soul. This immoral woman, the woman who was not a religious leader, was not an expert on the law, she demonstrated to the folks, the church folks, what loving God with your soul is supposed to look like. What she did, this woman came in and she entered into the banquet where a Pharisee, the religious leader, had invited Jesus, the teacher, the one to come and sit at his table. And I'm here to tell you what loving God with your soul does. When you understand the cultural and historical context, number one, back in those times, women would never have been invited to the banquet. Women would have never been invited to the banquet, and not only would they not have been invited, she was a woman who had a known bad reputation.
Banquets at that time, we think of a banquet of a party. They were not behind closed doors. They were often held in open spaces so people outside can see. And Jesus was sitting at the table, kneeling down with his feet behind him. You ever sat down and you kind of cross your legs and your feet behind him? That's why it says the woman came behind Jesus. So she walked into a place where she was not invited. In fact, she could have risked her life coming in there because she wasn't even supposed to be in there. And she came because why? She heard Jesus was there. And what, this is what I want to hear you. I want to tell you today. When you love God with your soul, what it'll do, it'll call you to boldly pursue him. Loving God with your soul means I'll risk it all for Jesus. She risked it all. She said, I don't care. I put my reputation on the line. I will put my life on the line to get to the one who can forgive my sins. See, when you love God with your soul, you'll boldly run after him. What do I mean boldly? You don't care what anybody else says about you. I got to get to him. I got to be in his presence. She boldly pursued him. She understood I'm not supposed to be in the banquet. Not only was I not invited, I'm a woman. And in this culture, women are not allowed to enter into the place where they're having the banquet with this Pharisee. And I know everybody knows. Listen, it was a no. They said she was an immoral woman. The Pharisee said, Jesus don't even know her reputation. She must have had a bad reputation. Everybody knew what she was about. But she said, listen, I don't care. I boldly pursue him. Why? Because he's our promise. Listen, he's a God who forgives. Loving God with your soul will cause you to go after him no matter what anybody else says about you. You'll be willing to risk it all to get to Jesus. That's what she did. She understood, I'm not supposed to be there, but I boldly pursue him. Do you risk? Are you willing to risk everything for him? Are you willing to risk some friends? She's willing to risk her life for him. She said, that's what my loving God with your soul is. I'm a woman who's known immoral, and I'm not only coming into the banquet, I'm touching the teacher. She was willing to say, I'm willing even to die. I'm willing to risk my life to get to him. That's what the soul is. Why? Because he's more valuable than anything. His very life to me. Today, do you love God with your soul? Do you boldly pursue him on your job? Are you willing to run after him and to represent him on your job, no matter what anybody else might say? She boldly ran after him, and she bowed before his presence. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I love it because she was bold, because she was a sinner. Everybody called her a sinner. The amazing thing about this passage, we'll get to that later. The Pharisee said he doesn't recognize she's a sinner. The problem is he ain't recognized he was a sinner too. How many know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? See, the problem, sometimes we put labels and levels on sin. We put labels and levels on sin. Some of her sin was known. His sin, nobody saw it. Her sin was known. It doesn't even say what it is. We automatically assume she may have been a promiscuous woman. We don't know what it is. If Jesus would have known, everybody in the hood knows she off the chain. Everybody knows she's out there. Everybody says she's a known immoral woman. The problem is you don't know that you're immoral because of your pride. Your pride. You don't recognize that, yes, everybody can see her sin, but the problem is you got stuff in your heart nobody can see. Do you understand that? Listen, there's none righteous, no, not one. None seeketh after God. That's why her soul loved him, because you accept me just like I am. When you recognize that he's forgiven you of your sin, no matter what you've done in your past, do you know you can't do enough sin for God, for Jesus to not love you? You can't do. I love the song Daryl Coley said, he's already forgotten what I can't forget. And when you recognize that, I can boldly pursue him. Today, there's somebody today who said, listen, I'm scared even to come back to church because of what I've been in. Boldly pursue him. There's some folks who won't go to church because they're going to look at me like I'm funny. The people in there think they got everything together. Everybody in here is a sinner saved by grace. Everybody, there but by the grace of God, go out. I don't care what you've been through. Guess what? You are welcome into the house of God. Run to his presence boldly, because guess what? It's like Planet Fitness. It's the judgment-free zone. Amen. Anybody been to Planet Fitness? I used to hate going to Planet Fitness. And Al can tell you, me, Al, and Dave, we used to go to LA Fitness when we were younger. We used to go, we all go, and we in there, and we stay 2 or 3 hours, and we trying to lift all this heavy weight. And if you told us you went to Planet Fitness, oh, you soft. They don't even have dumbbells over 75 pounds. I don't want to go into Planet Fitness. Why? Because Planet Fitness is designed for people who say, listen, when I go into those other gyms, everybody looks big, and they making all this noise, and they all fit, and they wearing all these tight clothes, and I'm out of shape, and I just don't feel like I want to go in there because people going to look at me funny. But Planet Fitness says, listen, if you come up in here acting like that, they cut the lunk alarm. You know what the lunk alarm is? If you go in Planet Fitness and you're making all this noise and dropping the weight down, alarm goes off. This is a judgment-free zone. You're not going to make anybody feel uncomfortable. Everybody's welcome here wherever you are in your fitness journey. And I say, guess what? You know what? That's what it ought to be like when you come to Christ. It's the judgment-free zone. I don't care where you've been. But listen, you got to get to his presence in order to get right. All of us are a different place on our journey. So you got to boldly run to his presence. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Listen, as long as he recognizes, listen, I'm calling you. Listen, when you love God with your soul, you're boldly, you'll risk everything just to get into his presence. You'll boldly get into his presence. But not only that, not only did she boldly come to him, but the next thing, what loving God with your soul, you boldly come to him, but then it says you bring him your best. You boldly come, but you bring him the best that you got. Look at what the verse says, verse 37. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with what? Expensive perfume. This immoral woman, I don't know her financial situation, but what she did, she brought him what's expensive. I didn't just give him what was right there. I mean, what was just available. I brought something of value. And today, when you love God with your soul, you bring him your best. Too often, we're too busy trying to live our best life instead of giving God our best life. He said, give him your best. Somebody said, give him your best. You know what the word best, when I thought of the word best, it's a B. But give him your body. Give him your body. What? No, you're not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. That your body is the temple of God. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought with a high price. God said, listen, when I give God my best, I give him my body. What I do with this physical body has to bring honor and glory to God. That goes into how I behave sexually. That goes into how I behave physically. What I put in my body. What I eat. The Bible said whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do it all for the glory of God. If I want to give God my best, I got to give him my body. Because I said, listen, we're soul-loving Jesus. Soul means life. Part of your physical life is your physical body. Are you loving God with your body? How you treat your body? What you put in your body? Where you take your body? Give God your best. That means, God, I got to love you with my body. How am I taking care of my temple? Not only do I love him with my body, I love him with all of my endeavors. I love him with my body, but I love him with my endeavors. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 3 says like this, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be established. You know what that goes into? How do I use my time? All of my endeavors, all of my activities, I love you with my activities. God, whatever I choose, listen, my free time is not just my free time. Do I honor you in my free time? The things that I choose to be a part of, do I show that I love you with my life? Am I honoring you, God, with my body? Am I honoring you with my endeavors? And also, you love God with your skills. Show God you love him with the talents that he's given to you. He said he's given you every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm about to fall down. Y'all didn't see that, did you? Trip over my own feet. We got to love God with your skills, with your abilities. 1 Peter 4, each of you use whatever gifts you have to serve others as a steward of God's grace in his various forms. Why?
so that in all things God may be praised. What are the skills and abilities and talents that God has given to you? Are you using them to bring honor to God? Or do you bring glory to yourself? We just had this conversation in the car this morning. We were talking about pride. Me, DJ, and Amira were talking about pride and how ugly pride is, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I said, do y'all know anybody who's always bragging about stuff they can do? And I said, even the things that you can do, the things that you are good at, you're not good at them in and of yourself. God gets the credit because he gave you the ability to do it. So I give, whenever somebody said, man, you're good at that, don't get your head big, say, to God be the glory. It all points, and look, that's why he wants you to be excellent in whatever you do. Use your skills, perfect your skills, develop your talents and abilities. Why? Not so you can get shine, but so he can get glory. When you honor God, when you give him your best, the woman brought her best, give him your best to the master. You honor him with your body. You honor him in all of your endeavors, how you use your time and activities. You honor him with your skills. You honor him with your bodies, your endeavors, and your skills. And then finally, you honor him with your treasure. You honor him with your treasure. You know what that is? Your stuff. Your stuff. That's what he said. Honor the Lord with your what? Wealth. With the first fruits of all that you produce. Honor God. Listen, I want to give to God. I give him all of it. Because why? All of it is his. I said, loving him with my soul. That is your physical life. Your physical life is made up of your body. Your physical life is made up of the endeavors, the activities that you're involved in. Your physical life is the skills that God's given you in your body to be able to use to enhance his kingdom and enhance the lives of others. Your physical body has to do with the treasures and the gifts, the finances and the things that he's given you. Honor God with that. When you honor God with your wealth and all you produce, you know what? He'll bless you. If you want your soul to love him, it starts with you boldly pursuing him and then bringing your best to him. When you bring him your best, listen, you give him your bodies, your endeavors, your skills, and your treasures. Y'all notice the little rhyme? Your body, your endeavor, your skills, and your treasure. But not only you bring him your best, the third thing, once you boldly pursue him, you bring your best to him, then the third thing you got to do is now bow down before him. Bow down before him. She said she took the expensive bottle. Verse 38 says, then she knelt behind him at his feet. You say, how is she behind him at his feet? I told you, he was probably sitting with his legs behind him, knelt behind him. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. She bowed down before him. What did she do? She was willing to humble herself. Loving God with yourself, meaning, listen, I'm willing to be humiliated for him. Reminds me of David. The Bible in 2 Samuel, David, when the ark was coming back into Jerusalem, the ark was coming back and had been out of the city for a while, and they were bringing it back, and David started to dance. He was excited, but the presence of God was coming back, and David was excited. He said David danced so much that his clothes fell off. David danced till his clothes fell off, and his wife was looking at him and said, look at this fool. His own wife, his wife Michael. Michael was the daughter of King Saul. King Saul was the one that God chose David over Saul and his whole family. And David, in the midst of the presence of God coming back in, and David had run from Saul, and because Saul was trying to kill him and destroy him and all of that. And finally, when the presence of God came in and David is reigning on the throne, he was so excited he danced till his robe fell off. And his wife said, do you recognize you're the king? You're the king. Where is your pride? Where is your dignity? And he looked at his wife, and look, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, he said to his wife, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your daddy or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. That's who I was dancing before. He said, I will celebrate before the Lord. Not only that, I will become even more undignified than this, and I'm willing to be humiliated in my own eyes. He said, what this woman did, she bowed down before him. She risked it all to come to his presence. Then she bowed. God is calling you, listen, if you want to love him with your soul, you got to humble yourself before him. You're going to require you to put your pride to the side. This woman came and she said, I bow in his presence. You got to, what that means, you got to surrender. Remember we talked about last week, surrendering your heart. That's one thing we cannot get around is surrender. If you want to love God, it's going to require you to surrender. We talked about our will and our affections last week. Today, if you want to, listen, you want to love God with your whole soul, you're going to have to surrender yourself to him and say yes to Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I trust you and obey. Not what I want, but what you want. Jesus even gave us a gift. Not my will, but your will be done. Today, are you willing to bow down before him? Say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all. All. My whole being loves Jesus. My whole being loves Jesus. And when you get, listen, the reason why she was able to do that, why? Because she recognized of how much she was forgiven from. That's why when Jesus, the man Simon was like, Jesus must not know who's in here. And Jesus said, Simon, let me tell you a story. There was two people who owed somebody, and one owed him a little bit, and the other one owed them a lot. Who loved him more? And he forgave the debt of both. Who loved more? And he said, the one who was forgiven much. And he said, yes. That's why this lady is willing to bow down, because she's been forgiven much. But what I noticed about that, he really didn't say, he just said yes. But you know what? How much they owe was all relative. One didn't know how much the other owed. All I know, I owe him 50. That could be a lot for me. The other one owed 500. That's a lot for me. But the key is, both of them had been forgiven much. It was all relative to where they were in their life. And what Jesus was saying, it's not about a matter of the amount, it's a matter of whether you're aware that how much you owe me. And she was willing, listen, she was willing to bow down before him and be humiliated because I recognize that he's forgiven me much. The problem with so many of us, we forget of how much he's forgiven us. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, when I think about what he's forgiven me from, how he's still blessing me, still protecting me, even when I haven't done what I'm supposed to, how gracious and merciful he is, how dare I not bow before his presence? How dare I not be willing to surrender it all to him? If your soul is going to love him, if you're going to love him with all your soul, you got to boldly pursue him. You got to be willing to risk it all. You got to bring your best to him. Give him your bodies, your endeavors, your skills, and your treasures. But also, you got to bow. Now you got to humbly bow before him. And you know, that humility, that's not a one-time, that's an everyday thing. I surrender all today. I got to sing it again tomorrow morning. Amen. I got to sing it again tomorrow morning because I surrender all today, but tomorrow there's going to be a new challenge. There's going to be a new enemy. And what I did, listen, I may have done all right yesterday, but today I may drop the ball. I got to surrender daily. I got to bow down daily. It's not a one-shot deal. That's why, listen, worship is so important. That's why personal worship is so important, because when you're not in the habit of bowing and humbling yourself before him on a daily basis, you begin to think that you're on the throne and that you're running the ship of your own life. You get it twisted. That's why the pandemic has been so dangerous. I'm here to tell you. That's why, listen, corporate worship is so important. You know why? Because it offers me accountability. I love it. I love it. Accountability. Listen, I'm so glad that we can worship in our homes, but God didn't design you to worship in your home. Amen. God didn't design you. I praise God that he's given us a vehicle for able to navigate through the uncertain times, but he wants you to be in the presence of the saints. Why? Because there's accountability, because there's worship. When I can recognize, it helps me get myself right in private when I got somebody keeping me accountable. That's why worship, bow in his presence. Humble yourself before him. And the last thing that what you got to be, once you boldly pursue him, bring your best to him, bow down before him. I love it. The next thing, you know what you got to be? Be extra. My wife always said, why are you so extra? You ever heard somebody, you're just always extra. Just got to be over the top. When we talk about people being extra, it's irritating. Anybody know some folks who just extra? They got to do just dramatic. They're just overly just dramatic. Some of your kids might be extra. Some of us in here are extra. My wife says, I'm extra. You're just so dramatic. And we look at that as a negative thing. But you know, when it comes to Jesus, God said, be extra. I need you to be. When he said, look, loving God with your soul means to be extra. Don't give him just what's normal. Don't do what's just regular and expected. Look at what this woman did. He said her tears fell on his feet. She wiped them with her hair. That's extra. Most people would have got a towel. Then she kept kissing his feet and then putting perfume on them. She was extra. And the man said, Simon said, what is wrong with this woman? Jesus said, do you recognize you didn't do what was customary? He looked at the woman in verse 44 of Luke 7 and said, look, this woman kneeling here, when I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust of my feet. You didn't do what was just regular. But she washed them with her own tears and wiped them with her hair. Extra. You didn't greet me with a kiss. That was the customary greeting. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Extra. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, they are many, but they have been forgiven. That's why she showed me love. She gave extra. When you recognize all he's done for you, you can't help but give extra. See, the reason why that Simon the Pharisee didn't get extra, because he was a Pharisee, and I obey the law, and I got my stuff together. I'm in right relationship with God because I checked all the dots. Because I checked the boxes, I think that I stand in good standing because of what I've performed before what I've done. That's why he didn't anoint him. That's why he didn't give him the customary kiss, because he's just a normal guy. Do you know sometimes that's how we approach Jesus? What's the big deal? He's just a regular guy. You know, I mean, you got so familiar. We thought we've got tied up all of our stuff in our own performance. We got to do extra. You know, during the pandemic, this is one of the things that always convict me. You know, we used to pre-record our service, and we have church at home. And I would tell my family, come on, let's go down and sit in the family room, have church. We're not going to worship him in the bed. Because why? Hey, he's done, I got to give him extra. I'm not going to just labor. I got to give him extra. He's been too good to me. Extra. Yes, for you, maybe not extra. That's why David said, woman, I can become even more. I'm going to be extra. I'm going to be extra because he chose me. All I was is a shepherd and nobody, not even in a royal family. And listen, I wasn't even the best among my own siblings. And he came and saw me. And he chose me over your family. And your daddy tried to kill me, but he kept me. I disobeyed him and he kept me. That's why I'm extra. And this woman said, I can't help it. I will give him extra. I know it's customary to anoint him with oil, but I'm going to perfume on him because he's sweet to me. Because I know that I'm messed up. I know that I've done a lot. And he still loves me. And he still forgives me. So I'm willing to give him extra. Will you give him extra this morning? Will you give him extra? Church, I'm afraid we got to the point where we're not even giving him average. We're not even giving him average. We're giving him what's left over. When I have time for it. He said, you don't even recognize that you, listen, it's in me that you live, that you move, that you have your very being. I'm sitting at a traffic light. My, I could not be here this morning. I'm in the land of the living God. I got to give you extra because you keep me. You provide for me. Are you willing to give him extra? Loving God with your soul means you go above and beyond what's expected. This man wouldn't even do what's expected. He said it's expected that when you have a guest in your home, it's customary and accustomed you greet him with a kiss. It's customary that you anoint him with some, give him pour olive oil on the head. I did that. I came in. You ain't give me any of that. What? How are we treating Jesus? Today, that how we treat Jesus has a lot to do with how I view and how much appreciation I have for all he's done for me. My soul loves Jesus. Does your soul love Jesus? Just your whole being love Jesus when I recognize all that he's done for me. Once again, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of my sins and heals all my diseases. Has he healed you today of your sin sickness? Has he forgiven you? Have you thought about all of his benefits? And when you do that, you ought to bless him with your soul. Your very life ought to love him today. Are you all in? Are you all in? If you can say, look, today, I don't even want everybody to say, yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in. I want you to self-assess. Before you yell, yeah, I'm all in, say, Lord, am I all in? You might look and say, God, I haven't been all in. But from today on, I want to be all in. God, I want to love you with my heart, the center of me. I want to give you all of my desires and my affections. God, I want to love you with my soul, my whole life, and bring you my best to honor you with my body, my endeavors, my skills, and my treasures. And God, help me to do that, recommit myself to that daily. Because something's going to come tomorrow to challenge it. Amen? Can you all stand with me today? Soul love. Lord, let our soul love you. Let us love you with our whole soul, our very life. Lord, our whole being. And Lord, we'll do that when we really have a handle on all that you've done for us. Forgive us, Lord God, for when the message of the gospel has grown stale. And Lord, we at one point have accepted you as Savior, Lord of our life, and we can quote it with this memory. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and we can quote that from memory, but Lord, we forget the implication. Lord, we forget the magnitude of our sins. Forgive us for when we've been like the Pharisees, and we've tried to be right with you by our performance and our deeds. Forgive us for when we've not given you what's normal, what's average. Forgive us for when we've given you what's left over. God, today, you, Lord God, you are extra for us. Greater love has no one than this, extra, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. That's extraordinary love. Thank you for being extra, God. Thank you for being extra, a God who's able to do exceeding, extra, abundant, extra, above all we can ask or imagine. Thank you, Lord. And because you're extra, help us to love you with an extraordinary love. Lord, help us to give you our everything and then some. Forgive us when we held back. Forgive us, Lord, when we haven't loved you with our whole soul. Today, let us commit our souls to loving you. In the name of Jesus. Today, I'd like to invite somebody to come to know this God who was extra, who did extra for you. He loves you. He came, listen, he wants a relationship with you so bad that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay for your sins. All of us are sinners separated from God. We are born in sin, the Bible says. Sin just means anything we act, say, or do that is against God. The little white lie to committing murder, all sin. You commit one, you've broken all of it. Nobody's perfect. All of us are guilty. And the only thing that can pay for your sin is death. It's a death sentence. But so what God said, listen, I love you so much that guess what? I'm going to pay the price for you. He came and gave a gift of himself. God became man. Jesus came to earth. Why? Because he's the only one who could qualify to pay the price. Because death was the price, but it had to be the death of a perfect being. And all of us didn't qualify. So God said, I'm going to qualify for you. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He was buried. But because he's God, the grave couldn't hold him. He rose to make you right with him. And today, if you want to have all of your sins forgiven, the past sins, present sins, and future sins, he said, all you got to do is admit to me that I'm a sinner. Believe that I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Believe he was buried and rose again. And then choose to invite him as Lord of your life to forgive you of every sin and make you who he wants you to be. If you're not sure if you've ever done that for the first time, I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to invite him as Savior and Lord of your life, just pray this after me silently where you are. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me. You can pray this here in the building. Pray it at home. Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, that he was buried and he rose again. And I choose to invite you as Savior and Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we applaud our King? If you prayed that prayer today, hallelujah. Congratulations to anybody. If you're here, if you're at home, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. It's the greatest decision you've ever made to have your sins forgiven. And now what is exciting is, he said, now I give you eternal life and you'll never perish. He promises to walk with you day by day, moment by moment. But what you need now is some people on your corner. We want to be in your corner. Listen. If you could put that up on the screen for me. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you to go to this link on the screen, encounterchurch.net/next, and say, look, I prayed that prayer. What do I do now? You can also go to that text message, 301-804-2520. Text the word next there, and we'll send you something to show you how to grow in your relationship with God. Amen? Finally, for those who are here, say, Pastor, I got convicted this morning. I got convicted this morning. Can I be honest? I got convicted this morning. Amen. If the Lord convicted you and said, Lord, Father, I got to give you my body. I got to give you my best. I haven't been bowing before you. God, I haven't been extra. And you said, Pastor, I need prayer. I want to recommit my life to loving God with my whole soul. If that's you, can you raise your hand? Let me pray with you and for you. I'm raising my hand. Say, God, I want to recommit myself to loving you with my soul. Amen. Anyone else? God, I want to recommit myself. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for loving us so unconditionally. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for being faithful to us daily, Lord, moment by moment. And forgive us, God, for the idols that we've placed in front of you. Today, I come with my brothers and sisters and say, God, we're sorry. We want to recommit ourselves to loving you with our soul, with our whole being. Empower us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to resist the lure of the enemy in this world and to remember all you've done for us. Help us to be willing to lay it all down for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we bless God? Amen.
for today's message. And I want to thank all of you all who are here with us in person, those of you all who are joining us online. And we will see you all next week. Ah, that's important. Yes. So we do need to do offering as well. Forgive me for that. So for those of you all who are here in the building, they are coming around with offering. And for those of you all who are at home, there are plenty of ways to give, and that should be popping up on the screen right now, and you can use any one of those methods to give. Also, real quickly, before I bring Pastor Dwayne back up to close us out for the last thing, I do want to also remind you of the coin drive that is in the office that Barbara Goodall has set up. If you have loose change, make sure that you just drop it in the bin out front. We are collecting that. And if you're like me, you probably have loose change, because I don't, whatever change I have is can go in there, because I don't use it much. So if you have it and it's just sitting there, penny, nickel, quarter, whatever, please consider donating it to the coin drive. And finally, I'll bring Pastor Dwayne back up. Close us out.
I'm sorry. Amen. Before we close out, a couple of things that we have something special that we're going to do. But before we do that, I also want to make you aware, if you're watching at home and if you're here, we are, a couple of things, on the 19th of this month, the 19th, that's next, not this Monday, next Monday, we're going to have a corporate prayer time, church-wide corporate prayer at 7 p.m. on Zoom. It's going to be a Zoom prayer. We're going to gather online on Zoom this time, amen, for corporate prayer, and we're going to have a prayer time on Zoom from 7 to 8. I know we have a prayer call every day for those who are labor on that prayer call, but we would invite, if you're not normally doing that prayer call, it's noonday. Some of y'all at work can't do it, but on Monday, the 19th, we want everyone to gather on Zoom together, and we're just going to pray for God for over this church, pray for those there, so those who aren't able to make it out and make it in. We're going to have a prayer time online, and that Wednesday, we're going to also have our business meeting. September the 21st, we'll have our church business meeting. That will be virtually as well, so everybody, to make sure that everybody can make it. All right? Then finally, September the 25th, that's the last Sunday of the month. The 25th is the last Sunday, yes? The last Sunday of the month, what we are going to be doing, I'm excited, we are going to have outdoor service. Amen. We're going to have outdoor worship. Man, outdoor worship got us through the pandemic. Amen? Amen. We had church outside. We were in the parking lot. We pull up and praise. And so there's some of us who are not able to come, who are still nervous about coming in the building. You can worship with us in your car on the 25th. We're going to have outdoor worship and have service outside, but we're going to spice it up. We're going to, you know, normally we used to have a love feast. We're going to have our love feast. We want you to come and just get loved on. We're going to have food after service. Amen. We're going to introduce you to those who are small group Bible study leaders. We're going to have maybe do a little something fun with our small groups. The small groups maybe wear the same colors, play some games, some activities, and we'll be outdoors having good fellowship with one another. This, I tell you this because we want you to invite a friend. Invite somebody to church that day. They might not come to church, but they might want to be in a Bible study. They can find out about how to be involved in our small group Bible study ministry. That is September 25th, Sunday morning, outside worship, and our love feast afterwards. We're looking forward to that. Amen? Finally, September usually is our graduation here at Encounter Life Church. Amen? And from our church, we pray the pandemic kept us out of church. Our children were in church. We didn't have children's church for a long time. I thank God for Sister Kenya, Sister Olivia, and all of those who are helping out with our children's ministry, who helped to get our children's ministry launched back again. Today is special because we have a graduate from our children's church ministry. Amen? Can we give a round of applause? We have a special graduate from our children's. Y'all know when we used to have the graduation today. We are excited because we have a young man who is graduating from children's church into the sanctuary. And man, he done jumped into the sanctuary and started serving already.
in the sanctuary. He's 12 years old, this young man. He's in the seventh grade. And he already said, Mama, I want to sing on the praise team. Amen. And I'm excited because he's my nephew.